I'm Ann DeLisi, the host of Essential Music. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to WDET. Your financial support allows us to explore arts and culture and celebrate the lives of music icons. Consider a donation today at WDET.org, and thanks.
Bill Withers, famed soul singer of hits like Lovely Day, Lean on Me, and Ain't No Sunshine, died on March 30th at the age of 81. His brief career, which spanned less than a decade and unusual path to stardom, introduced us to songs that decades later still resonate. Culture Shift's Ann DeLisi remembered Withers in a special that features music and commentary from the artist himself.
I'm okay with my gray hair and my narrowing shoulders. The most important thing is to be okay, you know. I just want to feel good. I know what it feels like not to feel all right. You know, guilt and regret. Aches and pains. I'd really like to learn to accept everything before I die.
That's the voice of Bill Withers, a musician, songwriter, and singer whose relatively brief career and unusual path to stardom introduced us to songs that decades later resonate with us. I'm Ann DeLisi with a tribute to Bill Withers, who died on March 30th at the age of 81. He was born on July 4th, 1938 in Slab Fork, West Virginia, one of the poorest cities in one of the poorest states in our nation. But music was there from the very beginning. Bill Withers was quoted as saying, "We lived right on the border of the black and white neighborhoods. I heard guys playing country music, and in church I heard gospel. Music was everywhere." His mother was a maid, and his father worked in the coal mines and died when Bill Withers was 13 years old. To avoid the same fate as his father, he graduated from high school and joined the Navy when he was 17 years old, where he became an aircraft mechanic and also began writing songs. But something he had struggled with his entire life up until that point was stuttering. Here's Bill Withers.
I was an asthmatic stutterer as a kid. One popular thing is, spit it out, spit it out. And then they have all these folky kind of cures, like hitting you in the face with a dish rag or something, you know what I mean? Really stupid stuff, you know. I grew up with, you can't do nothing. One teacher said to me once that I was handicapped. And I didn't like that word. So any dreams that I had, I kept them to myself. Once you're labeled sort of a less than person, it gave me this crisis of confidence. I just wanted to leave and then go and start over with some new people.
Here is Bill Withers talking about someone who had a big influence on him regarding his stuttering, but you'll also hear him describe his idea of what it means to be a man.
Since I stuttered, you know, people kind of bother you when you stutter. One of the big influences on me was a little guy named Virgil that owned a newsstand. Virgil was probably less than 5 feet tall. He walked on crutches and looked like he had a volleyball in the back of his shirt. And I was shining shoes over there, and I would go buy comic books. One day I went to buy a comic book, and I wanted one that was behind the counter, so I had to ask for it. So when Virgil noticed that I stuttered, rather than laughing like everybody else did, he said, "I think you can get some help for that." As fate would have it, that little man who couldn't walk without crutches became my male figure, because that was very macho to me, you know. You know, a bunch of guys running around flexing their muscles, drinking moonshine, and fighting each other on the weekends. That wasn't masculine to me. That was just dumb. Virgil he let me know that maybe something could be done about it, that I didn't have to stutter for the rest of my life. He got me one session with a therapist, and we couldn't afford to go back. But it put the seed in my mind.
Let's listen now to Bill Withers talking to a group of children who stutter and the advice he had for them.
There were a lot of athletes and people that I had seen in my life, so I wanted to say hello to everybody and introduce myself. And I went over to this one guy, and man, I got stuck. And it brought back memories, because there was a woman with him, and she started to laugh. It was fear. Fear of the perception of the listener. This fear that makes us apprehensive right at the point of trying to speak. that stops us. One of the ways to deal with the fear is to approach people with a prepared forgiveness. We have to be more civil than most people that we will encounter. Having had people not understand me a lot maybe helped me wait a little bit to where I can extend something that hasn't been given to me. And I think that makes you a much bigger person.
After conquering his stuttering, Bill Withers left the Navy after 9 years and headed to Los Angeles in 1967 to pursue a music career. Here he is later in life talking about that time.
Well, you know, I'm not into, like, false humility. So certain things you don't try if you don't think you can do it. So obviously I thought I could do it because I went to a great effort to do it. I mean, it's not... I don't think you can get into something like sports or the music business by accident. You have to put yourself on the line. And to put yourself on the line, you have to at least think you can do it, you know? If I was going to write anything longer than a song, I would write about fear. People get stuck in situations and they want to do something else, but they're afraid. Courage is not being afraid. It's what do you do in spite of being afraid? Fear disguises itself as anger and stuff, you know. Ego will make you call fear something other than what it is. I mean, it's not very macho to say I'm scared.
Bill Withers worked for Weber Aircraft Corporation while recording demos of his songs. Here he is decades ago recalling the start of his career.
I saved up some of my own money and recorded myself. I had never written any songs. I didn't really know how to play anything. And I had never sung before. Not really, you know, in the shower or someplace. But I just decided it would be awfully nice to get in the music business. And then I just walked around and knocked on everybody's door. A lot of times I would go in and somebody would say to me, you're too old to be just beginning. You know, I was like 32 years old at the time.
Most of the major record companies called me up, but they had a different idea of how, they didn't want me to do anything quiet. They had this rhythm and blues syndrome in their mind with the horns and the three chicks and the gold lamé suit, you know. And I wasn't really into that. So I thought, I had a job, you know, so I thought, well, you know, if they won't let me do it like I want to do it, I got this good job making these toilets. I don't need you, cats.
Making these toilets? What kind of toilets were you making?
For aircraft.
Ah.
Yeah, 747 aircraft.
Bill Withers wouldn't have to install aircraft toilets for much longer. His demo tape landed in the hands of Clarence Avant, who owns Sussex Records, the same label that released Rodriguez's Cold Fact album. Clarence Avant signed Bill Withers to a record deal. Here's Bill Withers recalling getting the call to get signed and recording his first album titled Just As I Am.
Well, it's not like I got a phone call from some major thing. It was some guy I'd never heard of from a record company I'd never heard of. So we went in and did half the record and got kicked out of the studio because the bills weren't paid. So I had to wait another 6 months to do the other half. Somehow or another, this guy was able to get Booker T to work with me. It was kind of a fly-by-night. One time we were recording, and Stephen Stills was walking down the hallway, and Booker was friends with him, so he said, "Hey, Stephen, would you come here and play a little bit for us?" So it was kind of like that, you know. You know, you got to figure, I wasn't 18 years old. I was in my 30s, so I was beyond being starstruck. I was just trying to get something done, you know. I remember when I was recording my first song I was working on, Graham Nash came in and sat down in front of me. And in those days, Graham had a little taste here and there. So he was pretty much drunk. But he was very nice to me. He kept saying, "You don't know how good you are." So it was kind of an experience like that. It was, you know, I had been in this military industrial complex all my life. I'm trying to relate to all these crazy musicians, you know. Booker was very stable. That helped me a lot.
And those musicians were some of the best in the business, including Stephen Stills on guitar, Jim Keltner on drums, and Donald Dunn on bass. Once the album was released, life was about to change.
I lived a good portion of my life before I started to play music. I had been working at Weber Aircraft, and I got laid off. Then Ain't No Sunshine started appearing on the radio and stuff. And it's funny because I got two requests in the same day. I got a letter from my job saying that I was called back to work, and I got a request to do the Johnny Carson show.
Bill Withers did do the Johnny Carson show, and the song Ain't No Sunshine, with its cold opening, wasn't like anything else on the radio. And it was the song that would change Bill Withers' life. Now we're going to listen to Bill Withers at different points in his life talk about the inspiration for Ain't No Sunshine. Here he is in his younger years.
Men have problems admitting to losing things. I think women are much better at that. Women can say stuff like, I loved him. I really, really loved him. But he just left. Why'd he leave like that? Men given the same situation usually say something like, I'm glad the old jive broad split, man. Knowing all the time that it's really killing them inside. So once in my life, I wanted to forego my own male ego and admit to losing something. So I came up with, ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
And now here's Bill Withers later in life talking about the same song and the film Days of Wine and Roses as being the inspiration for Ain't No Sunshine.
I was watching a movie, Days of Wine and Roses, with Lee Remick and Jack Lemmon. I'm giving you all these details because I want to dispel all rumors that I have dementia. I don't have that yet. In fact, there are some stuff I'd like to forget that I can't. So the movie was about alcoholics. And so they were a couple, and they each took turns going in and out of their addiction. And somehow or another, that song probably crossed my mind from that.
Wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
But for the sake of maybe that might not be true, every woman that I have had ever had anything to do with in my life before then thinks that song is about them. And they're probably all right.
I thought that Ain't No Sunshine was the best song on that album. Let me tell you something. Ain't No Sunshine was the B-side of my first single. So had somebody not thrown away the best song on my first album, I wouldn't have had a career.
Ain't No Sunshine was not only Bill Withers' breakthrough hit, but he won the Grammy Award for Best Rhythm and Blues Song, beating out Aretha Franklin, Lou Rawls, and Ike and Tina Turner. However, it was the A-side of that 45 that they actually released as a single. That song is called Harlem. As a testament to Bill Withers' skepticism as to whether or not he would have a music career, when it came time to photograph him for the album cover Just As I Am, the photo is of Bill Withers on his lunch break from his other job, holding his lunch pail, standing against a brick wall. In addition to Ain't No Sunshine, there is another song on this album that people gravitated to. It turns out it's Bill Withers' favorite song. Here he is talking about Grandma's Hands.
Most of us at some point in our lives have somebody that means more to us than anybody else has ever meant before or will ever mean again. Sometimes it's a long-legged lady if you're a man, or some tall, very smooth man if you're a woman. But in my case, I learned how to really love somebody from just a nice old lady.
My favorite thing that I've written has to be about this favorite old lady of mine.
From Slab Fork, West Virginia. You know where that is, right?
No. Is that any place near Bluefield?
Yeah, it's near Bluefield. About 30 or 40 miles, I guess, from Bluefield. Yeah.
Slab Fork, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Grandma's hand clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands.
The group Blackstreet would have a hit with the song No Diggity, in which they sampled Grandma's Hands. Bill Withers followed up his debut album with Still Bill, released the following year in May of 1972, and it would include the biggest song of his career that was about friendship.
You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong.
And another song from Still Bill that was a big hit for Bill Withers was Use Me. It was a masterclass in how to write a groove. It's been covered by everyone from Mick Jagger to Fiona Apple to Ike and Tina Turner.
Spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother.
Other standout tracks from Still Bill include Who Is He and What Is He to You and Kissing My Love. Bill Withers would go on to have a string of hits. The lyrics of his songs were truly unforgettable, with the most soulful voice in which to deliver them. Even so, it wasn't enough to quell his frustration with the music business. His deal with Sussex Records fell apart when the company went bankrupt. That was followed by a deal with Columbia Records for his fourth album, featuring the talents of funk brother James Jamerson and Motown music arranger Paul Reiser. Here again is Bill Withers.
2 or 3 years into this, I was in a major mess. I mean, I had a record company actually collapse out from under me. Well, the IRS came in and took the tapes and sold them. Then when I went to this major, big, mega label, you know, you walk in, you play something, and somebody goes, well, where are the horns? You got to put some horns on it. How long is the intro? First hit record I had was Ain't No Sunshine. No intro, nothing. If nobody throws all their rules at you, you might make a song with no introduction. Instead of singing about romantic love all the time, you make a love song about your grandmother. Or you make a friendship song, a la Lean On Me, searching through your feelings and your vulnerabilities and your strengths and your weaknesses. And you're already loaded up enough with the burden of just trying to find those feelings. So then here comes a whole bunch of guys trying to tell you what to do with all their goofy suggestions and stuff. They had the R&B black guys, and then they got what I like to call blackspurts. That's the white guys who are supposed to be experts, you know, who have some kind of tap into your black psyche. I had an A&R man once that his big suggestion to me was that I cover Elvis Presley's In the Ghetto. I was livid. And as I started to try to respond to that, that simple kind of emotional, vulnerable kind of thing kind of got splattered around there.
Bill Withers would put out four albums on Columbia, Making Music in 1975, Naked and Warm in 1976, Menagerie in 1977, and Bout Love in 1978. The song Lovely Day appeared on the Menagerie album. It was a hit for Bill Withers, and to this day remains one of the best feel-good songs ever recorded. It's also notable for the one note that Bill Withers holds for 18 seconds.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
In 1981, Bill Withers co-wrote the song Just the Two of Us and recorded it for saxophonist Grover Washington Jr.'s album. In 1982, they won the Grammy for Best R&B Song.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us, building them castles in the sky. Just the two of us, you and I.
After 8 years of making and recording music and dealing with the music business, Bill Withers walked away. Wanting to be there for his children was definitely a factor, but he was ready to go. Fans and fellow artists have held out hope for decades that he would return to making music.
I've had people ask me that question a lot. You know, how could you just stop? Well, to me, it wasn't stopping anything. It was doing something else. And I mean, I like music, but I'm not going to place my whole worth on it. You know how unhappy you would be if you thought that the way you are is not okay? I started out my life like that. I don't want to end it up like that. If I was completely honest with myself, I'm probably a little manic depressive. That's why maybe I might write some songs that might reach somebody else's emotions, because I have some. I have my own. Wouldn't it be fun at this age just to all of a sudden just jump up and start shaking it around? That would be something, huh? If I just had some showing off steroids, man, you would get tired of me. You know what I mean? I just could want to, and I want to. I want to. I sit there, I watch other people show off, and I said, man, I used to want to show off. If I could just get, you know, move to. I need a little injection in my showing off gland, you know.
In the documentary about Bill Withers, titled Still Bill, he calls up fellow artist Raul Midon and tells him he wants to work with him and had a song in mind for them to record called Mi Amigo Cubano. It's about rekindling the memory of an old friendship. The song was eventually released on Raul Midon's album Don't Hesitate. But here they are during their first meeting in Bill Withers' studio to start working on that song.
¿Qué pasó, mi hermano?
There you go.
I might just go in this frenzy, you know, just become obsessed with it every day. All you hear is just noise and me. You know what I mean? I would like that. Well, I mean, I could have done better, but I did all right. That's the way I look at it. I could have done better, you know, had I been disciplined, had I not grown up eating everything on a hog but the holler, I would probably be healthier. You know, I wish I knew more about civility younger. All the things that we grow into, I wish I had known those things younger because, you know, I would be healthier and probably more useful and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, we are born into the situations we were born into. One day you are, and you try to do something with yourself. The best advice anybody ever gave me was very simple. Go make something out of yourself, you know. So we do the best we can with that. But the whole goal of this is to try to make yourself interesting, because nobody comes here to hide.
Some final thoughts from Bill Withers as he looks back on his life. He grabbed the attention of devoted fans over 40 years ago with songs that define our feelings of love, melancholy, friendship, and happiness, and he did it all in less than a decade. The artist Questlove describes Bill Withers this way. He says, quote, "He's the last African-American everyman. Bill Withers is the closest thing black people have to a Bruce Springsteen.